welcome to the Aesthetically Insider Show. I'm your host, Angela O'Mara. I'm just beyond excited for today's guest, Dr. Babak Azizadeh. Dr. Azizadeh is known worldwide for his pioneering techniques in facial rejuvenation. Babak, welcome to the Aesthetic Insider Show. It's such a pleasure to have you here today.
Thank you, Angela. It's an honor to be here, and I'm so excited. I finally got the invite to come. I know you've been doing this for a long time, so this is fantastic. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, before we get going, I'd love for you to tell our audience more about yourself, who you are, what you do, and you know, some of these amazing techniques that you have pioneered in facial plastic surgery.
Thank you. Yeah. So I trained at UCLA and Harvard and started my practice about 20 years ago in Beverly Hills, in affiliation with Cedars-Sinai. My practice is really focused on, I would say, three areas. On the aesthetic side, with advanced facelift techniques and rhinoplasty techniques. And I also have a passion for children and adults with facial paralysis. I do a lot of pro bono work for them all around the world, and the combination has been really, really amazing to be able to do, cutting edge aesthetic surgery and, help with a very devastating issue that many patients deal with.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. And I have seen some of the work, especially with the facial paralysis patients. It's unbelievable. And I'm really grateful that there's somebody like you on the planet that is actually able to help people who have that difficulty. But let's talk a little bit about facial plastics and what is it? Because, I have facial plastic surgeons are kind of part of, they're in my heart. I've worked with so many of them. And I think, from a patient perspective, it's really important to kind of understand the importance of a facial plastic surgeon when having anything done to your face. And so let's just start with, why did you choose facial plastic surgery?
Yeah, so in the aesthetic space, there's really, I would say, four core specialties or subspecialties that have some overlapping areas of expertise, including plastic surgery, facial plastic surgery, oculoplastic surgery, and dermatology. I was always really enamored with the anatomy of the head and neck area. A couple of really important things happened when I was younger. I actually had a really badly broken nose. So I was, I grew up most of my life until my early 20s with like this really deformed nose that I eventually got fixed while I was in medical school. And the second thing was during early stage of my training, which was in head and neck surgery and ENT, one of my wife's really close friends developed facial paralysis because of a brain tumor. These areas intersected into facial plastic surgery. So I ended up getting additional training in facial plastic surgery, which really focuses on exactly all the things that we've talked about, which is really ultra focused on the face and neck area. And I like the focused attention and the detailed attention of both the aesthetic and the functional components. So it was a perfect marriage. And I really have been blessed to be able to have that training and be able to do that.
You know, that's interesting, because I kind of believe that there's no kind of accidents in life that happen to you. And for you to kind of go into this with, as a patient, really, with a broken nose, or the end result of a broken nose, and being able to fix that. And of course, now you look like you have a perfect nose. But then this, the patient, how you say, or your friend who developed facial paralysis, is something, many, many surgeons don't have that as an opportunity, really, in their life, which then has led you to have this practice now, like we talked about earlier, with just helping so many people with facial paralysis. And it really is something that is super specialized. It's not everybody can do that. So yeah, I think it's somewhat serendipitous the way your medical career began leading into today. Would you agree with that?
Oh, 100%. I mean, there's so many steps in this journey. During medical school, I was looking at doing ophthalmology or other surgical specialties. I'm one of my friends who actually is now a plastic surgeon. He was a medical student at that time. He's like, oh, you should look at, go upstairs to the sixth floor. There's a research department and the ENT department, head and neck department. And I walked up and I talked to this guy who happened to be the chairman of the head and neck surgery department. And he's like, yeah, come in. And I went into his lab and all of a sudden kind of that field opened up. So yeah, there's a lot of, stepping stones and, off ramps and on ramps that we take that change our career paths.
Yeah. So then you said you set up in Beverly Hills 20 years ago with the center, and it's done phenomenally well, as most of us know. What do you see, like, from 20 years ago in Beverly Hills to today in Beverly Hills? What's changed?
I would say 20 years ago, it was definitely a smaller community of surgeons, whether plastics, facial plastics, derms, or oculoplastics, and more divided. It wasn't a very collaborative environment. And I would say there were only a handful of very, very talented doctors, great doctors at that time. Over the past 20 years, and I feel like I've had something to do with it a little bit, we've become a much, much more collaborative group of surgeons in the area, and a lot of talent infusion. There are really, really talented, well-trained, well-intentioned physicians in the community. So it's really great. I feel like it's very collaborative. We respect each other. You don't hear people. I mean, there's always going to be someone that, says something negative about another doctor, but it's just a lot less. And it's really a wonderful, wonderful community. And I think it's also reflective nationally more so now than 20 years ago. And, we've been able to actually get better education because of it.
Yes.
Train people because of it, teach people. And that's one of the biggest differences. The other big difference, obviously, is 20 years ago, 90-95% of your patients came from word of mouth or other doctors. And today, in the evolution of the internet and Yelp and social media, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, etc., it has changed dramatically. And so a lot more element of entertainment goes into the practice of plastic surgery. And there's also, you have an international reach, and some of the most complex treatments that people didn't have access to, now you could find a doctor here or, in south of France and go get, if there's something very, very complicated or complex, you can achieve that. So it's very, very different at the core of it.
I love to hear that, because collaboration with the specialties has been something I know you have pioneered with your outreach, with your conferences, and just your presence in the industry. And so it's wonderful to hear that, especially in Beverly Hills, because it has always been considered such kind of a competitive marketplace, but then so is New York, so is Chicago, so is London, so is Paris. And I think this, as you mentioned, the internet has really opened us up globally to collaboration with people in other countries as well, which is really phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, I think medical education has changed tremendously. It was very insulated. plastic surgeons just did plastic surgery meetings, oculoplastic surgeons just oculoplastics, derms only derms, facial plastics, now the multi-specialty world, and access to great videos, education, webinars, free access to a lot of educational material has made people, I think, better at what they're doing and has improved outcomes, you know, which is the most important thing. Obviously, what we care about is improving patient outcomes. We want the best outcomes for with the least potential risk that improves, you know, the general acceptance in society.
So it's wonderful that now we have this collaboration amongst all these different specialties. What does that mean to the patient? Does it mean anything?
Oh, it's huge because we can always learn from one another. We don't become insulated and one, you know, there's always some new innovation within one specialty that all of a sudden you see if that specialty is the only specialty that's using it, they stop thinking about other things. So I, you know, there's been a tremendous amount of, you know, cross-pollination that ultimately improves technicals aspect of our practices and as a result improves outcomes.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. So now in terms of the importance of a facial plastic surgeon to a patient looking for facial plastic surgery, what kind of things should they be looking for?
Yeah, I mean, facial plastic surgeons generally really focus on probably, you know, three main areas, rhinoplasty, facial rejuvenation, both surgical facelifts, neck lifts, non-invasive facial rejuvenation, Botox, fillers, lasers. And the third area in the aesthetic space is eyelid and eyelid surgery and the surrounding areas. I think this, you know, our training with both ENT, head and neck surgery, and the fellowships that are available really hone in on those three areas. Now, there's always little niche areas that some people do, like ears, okay, facial paralysis, reconstructive surgery, and so forth. But the core of facial plastic surgery training, including both residency and fellowship, really is eyes, nose, and face. So that tends to keep people specialized, keep the surgeon specialized. They don't have, you know, 20 different procedures that they're doing, and they're really honed in. And obviously, even from there, some people just do noses or just do faces or just do other things. Now, it doesn't mean that every facial plastic surgeon is really great at every one of these things.
Yeah, yeah.
There are variations. And there are some plastic surgeons that are far better with facelifts or rhinoplasty or eyelid surgery than facial plastic surgeons. But it tends to be that on average, facial plastic surgeons just do a lot of noses, face, and eyes. Whereas oculoplastic surgeons are just really honed in on the eyes. And plastic surgeons can have a variety of different subspecialties. They could also be just doing face stuff, or they could be doing body and hand and other aspects of the aesthetic and reconstructive world.
Well, I know that, you know, now as a center of excellence, which you have in Beverly Hills, you also have a fellowship program, correct? Where you train every year new fellows in facial plastics. Can we talk about that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So for the past almost 12 years, I've had American Academy of Facial Plastic and Reconstructive Surgery fellowship program. It used to be one fellow per year. Now it's two fellows per year. And the fellowship is interesting, really, really interesting. It's a little bit different. Residency is very broad in training, whatever residency you're doing. You're learning about a lot of things over a 5-6 year surgical training period. Fellowship is really honed in and a little bit more like a preceptorship, right? What the fellows want to gain and what we love to do is really kind of like, what is it like to have my practice? What is it like? How do I interact with patients? How do I think about patients? How do I deal with a difficult patient? How do I deal with complications? And then obviously the surgical techniques and skill sets that each fellowship program director brings to the table, right? Again, my area of expertise is slightly different than another fellowship director. We've also tried to create this like super specialization within the fellowship, but still give our fellows access to the Mecca, which is Beverly Hills, right? We have 7 adjunctive faculty members that the fellow spend time with, including dermatologists, oculoplastic surgeons, plastic surgeons, other facial plastic surgeons that do things slightly differently, that have their own little, you know, approach to the way that they practice medicine and surgery. And so it, you know, you don't want to broaden the training where it's just like you don't learn enough. You want to focus it, ultra focus it, but also give access to a lot of different frames of thought. So this fellowship Paul Nassif and myself have been running for the past 12 years. And it's been just a really, really wonderful, wonderful process for ourselves, because we love mentoring. We love teaching. We love passing, you know, our experience to the next generation, and vice versa. We learn from the fellows. You know, they always bring in something new, their energy. It keeps us updated in the world. Yeah. So it's a win-win situation. And we provide that mentorship and training that I think to become the best you can be.
I love as well, like you said, it's not just about them coming to learn to be a facial plastic surgeon. They're coming to learn how to run their own business as well, kind of. I mean, or at least have experience of a day in the life of a real facial plastic surgeon. And then the exposure to the other specialties, I'm sure, is what is helping with this collaboration within the specialties that we're now seeing. It can only help that they understand how they can refer back and forth to each other or what the other specialties are doing to provide aesthetic treatments or breakthroughs or whatever. I think it's I hadn't heard of anybody else who actually was doing that. So I think that's pretty unique for those fellows that have the privilege of working with you and with Paul.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting. There's so many, like, just going back to the understanding the business side of it, every plastic surgeon, facial plastic surgeon, whether they're in private practice or working for a hospital, is a small business owner.
Yeah.
Because they have to really understand management of their team. They have to understand profit and loss. They have to understand marketing. They have to understand patients' care beyond just the personal care, customer satisfaction, right? That's like a big part of almost every business, right? You need to make sure you understand all of that. So we try to give our fellows that exposure that they can really take with them. And all of our fellows, you know, we're all like, we have a group chat together and so forth. It's like, that's one of the things that I feel, beyond just the technical side, which is amazing, and understanding how to do surgery at the highest level, but also understanding all of these ancillaries. And also, really, I they know everything about my family. So they know how important my family is. They know, like, what I, you know, how I balance things. So it's kind of really a holistic fellowship experience.
You know, I find that really fascinating, especially in the world of medicine, you know, because it's the whole balance in life. You know, whether it's something I'm coming across kind of as I'm getting older, or whether it's maybe something I've always sought to achieve, but it is the whole balance of everything. And I'm, you know, there's just kind of like more studies coming out now of the importance of family, community, career, you know, spirituality, nutrition, health. I mean, it just all flows. And I think it's wonderful that you expose them to that too. And I do know how important your family is to you. And it's something, you know, that I think really sets you apart.
Well, the goal for all of us to not get burned out and have a, whatever it is that you do as a individual in your career, whether you're a surgeon or not, is, to try to have a meaningful life and enjoy it. I know way too many doctors that are just burned out, frustrated. They don't like what they do. They're doing it just because they need to, pay the bills and so forth. And that's not what, at least myself personally wants to do or has done. Not that, of course, there's a lot of times you're like, oh my God, this is a very, very difficult, it's a very difficult job because like just so many things going on from so many different viewpoints, and you have people's, wellness and life in your hands. But to really enjoy your career, that's really the key, right? You want to have and that's part of our fellowship training, that what do you do so that you could have a meaningful career, you don't burn out, you enjoy what you do, and you become the best at it.
Of course, yeah. Now, so you say you have two fellows a year now. How do you maneuver those between you and Dr. Paul Nassif?
Yeah, so we they have 3 month blocks that they alternate with us,
Okay.
and then during each of our time periods, they also spend time with Dr. Masri, Dr. Talay, Dr. Chopra, who's a plastic surgeon, and Dr. Peng, who is very, very involved with the fellowship as well, and she's one of our co-directors. So we have, it's a nice mix, but basically, Paul, Grace, and myself really oversee the day-to-day. And then we develop, their other experiences. Dr. Fitzgerald is also very involved from a derm perspective.
Well, that's wonderful. Now, you did mention in kind of the whole holistic approach that you have to the practice, and we mentioned how the importance of family, the importance of staff, and I think you have. I don't know if it's that you've been blessed or you've been fortunate or it's just because of how you are and how you run the practice, but you've had long-term staff that have been with you through the thick and thin. Their importance and you treat them like family too. So what words of advice would you give to kind of other people out there, just from any career perspective, a business ownership perspective, the importance of the team?
Yeah, I mean, the team is everything. Honestly, I spend probably as much time with my staff as I do at home, between, all the factors that we, have to manage. I've had several staff members, you know them, that have been with me 16 years and 14 years in Los Angeles. Let me tell you, that is really difficult.
It's
Now, in other parts of the country, it's much easier. Here, anyone staying over 3 years in a medical practice, which is different, right, than working for a Fortune 500 company, is very different. But number one, I treat them like family. There's no like, of course, they have a lot of respect for me. They always show that respect, and I always show respect back. And you got to find a good match, right? You could have two wonderful people, boss and employee, and they may not just they may be amazing, but they may not be a good fit. So that's very, very important. Someone that you fit with, someone that does their job well and maybe better than well, and then you have to treat them well for their livelihood, right? You have to make sure that they're getting paid appropriately. We've had retirement planning that's like very rich and has provided them long-term security. If there's a problem or issue, we sit down and talk about it. And 95% of the time, those issues, whether it's on my end or their end, is something that can be solved. If you have the right team, it will be solved on both ends. And really also being reasonable. as an employer, you have to be reasonable. And as an employee, they have to be reasonable, right? Because this is, again, a small business. So there are certain limitations that you have. But as a whole, really treating people well, making sure that the fairness needs to be both in terms of just how you respect them, mm-hmm. And how they respect you back, both. And also make sure that they benefit from your growth, right? Because a lot of times people will stay if they don't benefit from the growth, but they won't get vested and invested in your practice. So if there are projects, like right now, I'm doing a really large healthcare technology project, I'm getting those key employees involved in that, mm-hmm. so that they can, you know, share in that aspect, even though it's separate from my practice. And I take advantage of their expertise, and they're bright and brilliant, and why not?
Yes.
So that's kind of how I've approached it. You know, thankfully it's worked out well.
That's great. So now for the fellows, where do they go after their tenure with you is up? Do they stay in Beverly Hills? Do they go back to...
We've had it all. We have, we have probably four or five fellows that are in Los Angeles or in the vicinity. I have a fellow in Charlotte, in Minnesota, in Philadelphia, in Austin. I have two in the Bay Area. So they are now one of my former fellows is now a fellowship director, which is super cool. So they are now an AFPRS fellowship director. So a variety of different New York, a variety of different places. And, you know, we really work hard to make sure that they understand the pros and cons of various jobs. I help, if they ask, and most of the time they do, help them in their contract negotiation, what's important, what's not important. Analyze the various options they have. They most of the time have a lot of options available to them. And that's a very important part, because that first job is like super stressful for them, you know, figuring what they want to do.
Now you mentioned, again, back to the holistic side of things and the energy that you must put in every day to this practice and to the fellowship, to the patients, to the staff, to the outside of the practice projects. You are still so youthful and so fit and vital and full of energy. So what's your secret sauce?
I don't know. Probably a little bit of genetics and a lot of environment. Thankfully, I have a really great home life and work life, knock on wood. So, supportive family that has, you know, been there for me and, you know, support my steps. I try not to take too much of an advantage of that and take advantage of it so that it's a balanced approach. And also obviously exercise. You know, my eating habits need probably some improvement, but overall, kind of, again, having a well-balanced life. And I try not to do things that I don't enjoy. That's the number one thing, because we get a lot of times, whether it's actually surgeries you don't enjoy that you're doing it for just because you have that, you know, patients coming in, or opportunities outside of your practice that comes to you that you don't enjoy. You may be doing it for the financial gain or ego or whatever it is. I try to my best of my ability to do only the things that I love, surround myself both with friends, family, and work people, with people I really enjoy working with. So work is not work for me.
I think as well, like when you say about when the new fellows come in and the energy,
they bring a lot of energy.
It's good, yeah, and they bring the energy into as well.
Youthful energy.
Yes, yeah, that's great. So you mentioned earlier again the journey and part of your journey. So what's next on this leg of the journey for you?
Yeah, so I'm working on a really, really cool, as I said earlier, really cool healthcare tech platform in the aesthetic space, which will hopefully be kind of a very important technology for plastics, facial plastics, oculoplastics, and dermatologists to have a telemedicine communication platform with their patients. That is very user-friendly and will improve their practices and definitely, hopefully, improve patient access and patient ability of the consumer to find and communicate with doctors. So it's a big project that I've been working on. We've gotten 45 of the top luminaries, key opinion leaders in the various specialties who are major stakeholders in this business. And so that it's almost ready to be, kind of out. And we're going to probably do a beta launch at the end of this year or beginning of next year. So we could have another podcast to discuss that because that'll
Absolutely.
be a super cool, it's a super, super cool project.
Yeah, fantastic.
And it'll be hopefully a game changer for our industry.
Well, especially when you say, like, we talked earlier about what's changed in the last 20 years in Beverly Hills, that we went from, the collaboration of the specialties, and then with social media, this global approach that we have to everything, and a platform like that is just is bringing everything full circle. That's amazing.
Yeah, no, we're really excited. Really, really excited. We've got some super smart people that I've partnered with, phenomenal physician group that's like, dream team
Yes.
of our industry. So it's really, really exciting.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I can't wait to hear more. You'll
Yeah, no, it'll be good. It's
definitely
almost there.
We'll definitely
Yeah.
do a podcast. Well, we're back on that note. It's been such a pleasure to have you on the show as always, and you will be back soon with a
Absolutely.
podcast for new technology. And I would also really love to maybe perhaps do a podcast on the facial paralysis, because I do know that is such a big aspect of your practice, and as well known as it is, I think there's always somebody in need. So I would love to do that too.
Love that. Well, thank you so much, Angela. And this is awesome. Keep doing this. This is phenomenal. What a great resource for people and I really appreciate you asking me to be on this podcast.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for back. And for those viewers that are still with us, remember to watch next Wednesday for another exciting episode of the Aesthetic Insider Show.